And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy, coming to you from Austin, Texas. You know, I'm so happy to get to the statistics every month. My web guy here, Jerry Barrett, who works for me, has been here many years, takes care of our internet web pages. And he gives me a report, and we know every radio program how many people listen on the internet. And I'll tell you, there are many, many thousands from all over the world listening to each and every program on powerofprophecy.com. It's a nice thing because 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we have this program going across the world. And, you know, you've got insomnia, you can't sleep at night. Hey, if you got a computer, go to powerofprophecy.com, and there on the home page, just one little click and you can listen to our radio program for that week. So every week, of course, we change the program. We have that current program that's on. You can also order, of course, these programs by audio tape or CD, whichever is your wish, for $8. Add $4 for shipping and handling. But there it is. And if you know how to do MP3 and all that technical stuff, of which I know very little about, don't ask me, please. But in any case, we do have these programs going across the internet now. Also, our affiliate internet site, conspiracyworld.com, has the radio program as well, and you can listen in there or powerofprophecy.com. Of course, on WWCR, we're going around the world on shortwave radio, and we have a tremendous audience. Now, I've got a very special program today. I want to get right into it because this guest has his own internet website, and friends, I want to invite you right now to get a hold of a pen or a pencil and some paper. Can be a little scratch sheet or whatever, because you're going to want to type, you know, you're going to want to write down the internet website. And my guest today, David Bay of Cutting Edge, he is going to tell you how you can get into his program. And he has all kinds of information. I think it's just very, very interesting. And if you have not seen Cutting Edge website, and he's going to give you the exact internet address of it, I think you're gonna enjoy it. A lot of articles, a lot of information, and I think it is cutting edge, and that's what he calls it, so why not? Cuttingedge.org, I think, if I can recall, but he'll tell us in a minute all about it. But I wanted to invite you right now to give you a moment to get a pencil and some paper and write it down, because you're going to enjoy going to David Bay's website. That's B-A-Y, of course. Now, David Bay put out a video documentary this last year, which we offered in the ministry, but we have a new one now. It's called Riddles in Stone. And is it a knockout? Folks, you're going to want to have this. If you like my book, Codex Magica, which talked about the secret Illuminati signs and symbols and so forth, even rituals, well, boy, you're going to love this video. It's 3 hours long. So when you're getting your pencil and paper out, you'll want to write down how to get a copy of this video. We're going to offer it right here on Power of Prophecy. Now, let me set this up a little bit. Let me just very quickly, and I'm not going to take very long, but this is very important. You see, David Bay has done some very original research into the Satan's plans for this world and how he's using architecture, even monuments that we may think are very patriotic in Washington, D.C., even perhaps the street layout of Washington, D.C. And I'm going to ask him about those things in a minute. You'll find out some of the monuments you see on TV all the time, you don't think one thing about it, whether it's our nation's Capitol building or the White House or the Supreme Court building, the Washington Monument. there might indeed be an occult message given out. Why would that be? Well, that's what we're going to ask David Bay. Now, a lot of people say, oh, that can't be. The United States is a Christian nation. Well, that's another question we're going to resolve today. But let me first bring to your mind what the Apostle Peter says in the Bible. He says that Satan is like a roaring lion, and he walks to and fro in the earth seeking whom he may devour. He's right here. He's the prince of the power of the air, the Bible says. But he walks to and fro on the earth seeking whom he may devour. We know he's here, he and his agents, and they sometimes come disguised as angels of light, even as ministers of righteousness, because Jesus himself said this. He said, I beheld Satan like lightning fallen from heaven. He was there with his Father in heaven, and he saw Lucifer falling like he was cast out of heaven. Cast down where? To the earth. I beheld Satan like lightning fallen from heaven. We know that the New Testament tells us that Satan is God of this world. Do you think Washington, D.C. or Tokyo or London are Christian cities? How about Jerusalem, even the so-called Holy Land? Could it be? Well, then why is Satan identified as God of this world? That's interesting that Satan offered Jesus the kingdoms of this earth. Remember that in the wilderness? And Jesus says, don't try to tempt the Lord thy God. He said, no. Later, Pilate said, are you a king? That's what you're accused of, being a king. The Jews say you've made yourself into being a king. And Jesus said, yes, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. Then whose kingdom is it? Well, riddles and stone may just tell you about that. David Bay, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Thank you very much, Tex. Thanks for having me on.
You know, that's a riddle in itself. Some people say, well, this is a Christian nation. You're not going to tell us, David Bay, that there are occult monuments in this nation that would show that some of our founders weren't Christian. Surely you're not going to say that. How would you answer?
Well, I would say that I am a seeker of truth, and if you are interested in truth, I'll take you on a journey.
You're okay.
We have always said that, you know, for any nation, that you've got the people and you've got the government. And we understand that thanks to the Great Awakening Revival started in 1741 and went all the way through the 1790s, that America had probably the highest percentage of its total population being born-again Christians than it's ever had. And many, many of the values, the cultural values, were indeed based on Christianity. But the government's a far different story. Our founding fathers were Freemasons, Rosicrucians, and they established this nation and Washington, D.C. as a pagan capital with their own globalist agenda.
You know, David, this only makes sense to me because if Satan is God of this world, he has great authority. And if Jesus says, my kingdom, yeah, you know, for now is not, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. Now, we know that the book of Revelation, and I believe it's a chapter 11, in fact, says very clearly that someday the kingdoms of this world will be given by God to his saints. So we know that's going to take place. But until then, evidently the devil has great authority on this earth, doesn't he?
He has great authority. It's been amazing as I studied, I've studied for this documentary for over 14 years. And it's amazing to me as I've studied throughout history that when Satan wanted a particular man in a position, he got him there, unless the Lord, you know, reached out and prevented it. And, you know, the people need to read Daniel chapter 10 and Ephesians 6:12, because that's the spiritual warfare we're talking about here. In Daniel 10, it's revealed that ungodly angels and godly angels are battling over who will influence the earthly king. former Satanists have told me that Satan has assigned a demonic being to every king in the earth, and once a nation receives a certain demonic being as their overlord, they call him, that overlord stays with that nation, you know, for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. So Daniel 10 is a very important scripture to read to understand what we uncovered as we put together Riddles and Stones.
You know, I recall that there in Daniel prayed to God, and God sent the archangel Michael, but he was delayed in the heavenlies having a war.
He was delayed because he was engaged in a battle with a demonic being.
Yeah, so, you know, Satan is always, trying to exert his authority. And I guess he tells God, he knows he's been defeated, but he says, you know, but you gave me this authority for a short while, so why do you keep intruding on it? It's sort of like a subordinate, you know, in the military or something that tells the general, well, I know you're the general, you're in charge, but you did give me this authority to do this little job. So, you know, and you keep interfering in it. But, of course, God interferes whenever he wants to, doesn't he?
Well, but see, God has set up a master plan for the nations of the world in every era of time. And certainly there are certain nations that are going to be prominent at the end of the age and certain nations that will be destroyed. And I believe that God is using Satan, you know, is intervening when he has to and giving Satan free rein where he wants to in order for these prophecies to come true.
I know you're right. Well, now, one of the things that the Masons are involved in this, according to your excellent documentary.
Washington, D.C. was called by one current prominent Mason that, you know, it's been called the Masonic City. Hmm. And indeed it is. It was laid out from the beginning as a Masonic city. In fact, as we point out in Volume 1, The New Atlantis, the real purpose for the 1607 trip to Jamestown was not to establish a settlement there, but to determine exactly where the 77th Meridian North was, because they were determined to found Washington, D.C. on the 77th Meridian North. And then they also established it as the southernmost city of the five original American cities that are on that ley line in perfect alignment with each other, you know, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Philadelphia, New York City, and Boston, all in perfect alignment with each other on a ley line. And when you extend that line over the Atlantic Ocean, it runs smack dab into the middle of Stonehenge. So Washington, D.C. was very carefully placed. Once the exact place was determined, you know, was found, or they determined where they wanted the exact location, the Masons held a corn, wine, and oil ceremony to dedicate the whole part of that land to Baal. And that, according to Hosea chapter 2, that's exactly what a corn, wine, and oil ceremony is. It's a ceremony to Baal. So from the beginning, Washington, D.C. was dedicated to Baal. And there are all sorts of Baal images in Washington, D.C., as you have, you know, as they work toward their ultimate goal of producing a Masonic Christ. And that story is told in the street layouts and the monuments in Washington, D.C., if you know what you're looking for.
Now, across America, you know, I came from a little town in East Texas. And as I walked around that town, I went to the post office, and there was a plaque, a marker, and it had the year that post office was established. And it had the Masonic square and the compass, the symbol. And it, you know, it said, worshipful master so-and-so. And they did this, the same kind of they laid the cornerstone and had the same kind of a ceremony you're talking about there at the post office. And at the, and I went up to the county courthouse in Beaumont. And there they had done the same thing. The Masons were there and had a ceremony. So they've been involved in building activities of government structures throughout America all this time, haven't they?
Yes. Oh, yes. What? In fact, throughout the whole world. I mean, you see this kind of occult architecture, to a lesser degree, but you see it in Great Britain, and you see it in Europe, and you see it in South America. It's just all over the place. One of their gods that they pay great honor to is Hermes. He was the god, supposedly, who originally taught the Master Masons hundreds and hundreds of years ago on how to build a city. Washington, D.C. was uniquely laid out according to these Masonic principles. In fact, we start the movie showing actors representing President George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Pierre L'Enfant. And Washington is saying, we have just established a unique republic. Now we must establish a unique capital city. Mm. And more than any city that I have ever seen, Washington, D.C. was step by step, precept by precept, literally line by line, block by block, was laid out according to occult precepts. With old symbols. It's really an incredible story, and we systematically unfold it in Riddles and Stones.
So when they built this city, this Masonic-designed city, occult-designed city, again, I want to go back to trace this because, you know, in history, because it's an amazing thing if people can only get this in their imagination and understand it. First of all, the Bible starts off in Genesis, at least in Genesis, the book of Genesis, telling us that the devil conceived of a great building and city named Babylon and a tower, even the Tower of Babel. So the building activity of Satan goes way back, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
And I, you know, one of the Masonic textbooks is called The Builders by Joseph Fort Newton. And I know this is recommended for the library of every Mason by their headquarters, the House of the Temple, the Scottish Rite Masons.
I think one of their monthly magazines is actually called The Builder.
The Builders. And, you know, their God, they call him the great architect of the universe.
Exactly.
And, of course, their symbol, or builder's symbols, the compass and the square. So they're like the builders. So they built this city. And yet it's built on these Masonic principles. Well, let's talk a little bit. But before we do, I might just mention, just in passing, I think it's ironic, or maybe not so ironic, that for whatever reason, when God chose to send Jesus in the flesh, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, his father, his earthly father, now not his heavenly father, but at least the man who took care of him, his guardian, let's just say, Joseph was a carpenter. And Jesus evidently was trained as a young boy as a carpenter. In a way, he was a builder too. And I wonder if God had, you know, it was like sort of an interesting situation there, wasn't it? The carpenter. And yet Satan says, whereas Jesus was the carpenter, he says, I'm the great architect. Boy, what a liar, huh? Well, let's move into this liar's city here, David, that you've exposed in your video, Riddles of Stone. Now, first of all, George Washington, evidently, according to your video, Jefferson and this Pierre L'Enfant worked pretty steadily at first in the sort of in the design of the city.
Yeah, Washington commanded those two men, Thomas Jefferson and Pierre L'Enfant, to draw up the plans, and that task fell primarily to L'Enfant, both because he was so strong-willed and because Thomas Jefferson didn't want to cause a rift. So it was primarily L'Enfant and that laid the plans out, and later George Washington actually named the plan the L'Enfant plan, and we have, of course, the L'Enfant triangle. Later, though, as you know, Thomas Jefferson recommended certain minor changes to the plan, L'Enfant became extremely irate and walked off the project. And they had to find themselves another copy of his plan and move forward. But it was Masonic to very, you know, to the extreme degree. The thing that you've got to understand about Washington, D.C. is that it is laid out according to astrological principles. You know, astrology is worshipped by the occultists. And America, you know, America's capital was laid out according to astrology. There are almost 50 zodiacs in the city. The city is laid out primarily according to the maxim, as above, so below, which is an occult maxim that means, well, it means a lot of things. It means that what is in the heavens should be reflected on the earth. When in the heavens, you've got the Virgo, you know, the three major stars in the Virgo constellation forming a right triangle, then you need to have a right triangle in your city. And in fact, there's two. There's the larger L'Enfant triangle, right triangle, and then there's the smaller federal triangle, which is nestled up inside the larger L'Enfant. When you realize that the planet Venus, which is Lucifer in the occult lexicon, when the planet Venus has an 8-year cycle, that has a perfect, that forms a perfect Gotev Mendez pentagram, except for one leg, which the planet does not form this one leg. It goes into a retrograde motion 2 days before it would form that last leg. Then you can understand why L'Enfant laid exactly that kind of a pentagram north of the White House. It's a pentagram that's missing one small segment. And I believe this is the first instance where someone has answered the Masons when they have said, repeatedly they have said, you know, this is not a pentagram. It's missing a link. So therefore, it's not a pentagram, and you're all wet. We have uncovered the reason why it is an unfinished pentagram, and that's because it was reflective of the Venus pattern of, you know, its 8-year pattern.
Mm.
So Washington, D.C. was laid out according to that maxim, as above, so below. That's why you have the reflecting ponds.
Yeah.
The reflecting ponds reflect the image, you know, certain images. The image of the Washington Monument, which is an obelisk. The image of the Thomas and Lincoln memorials and the Supreme Court building. All of this, you know, is to reflect the idea of as above, so below. So another interesting aspect of that maxim is that Masons believed that Jesus ruled the heavenlies and Lucifer ruled the netherworld, and they were opposite but equal beings. As above, so below. And so, and that was exactly what our founding forefathers believed. So, Washington, D.C. was laid out, you know, like, unlike any other American city, probably unlike any city in the world, according to occult astrology.
Now, it's interesting to me, you know, God, in laying out, let's just say, the entire galaxies, and the universe certainly had in mind the stars for whatever purposes that he had. But it's interesting how Satan would seek to make those stars into deities as such, and then would require his disciples here on Earth to pattern their cities, the layout of their buildings and such, in alignment with those stars, to mirror those stars. And this concept you have, as above, so below, I wonder, Dave, if it has anything to do with Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, where Satan boasted, I will be like the Most High. You know, I will make my residence, you know, in the stars. I will be above the stars, even. So he says, I will you know, basically says there, I will reconcile all things unto myself. And I really believe this hermetic prescription of as above, so below then would be Satan's idle boast that he will reconcile all things. Of course, these things belong to God, but he has made men to literally worship the stars and so forth. And he, I guess, looks upon himself as a star. And it's interesting, too, that in the book of Acts, one of the accusations against those who rebelled against Moses when he went to get the Ten Commandments, the children of Israel, was that they turned to the worship not only of the golden calf, which symbolized, you know, the great goddess of Egypt, but the children of Israel carried on their orgy and their horrible goings-on in worshiping the star god, or the star of their god, Rimfan. So the worship of the stars is really an abomination to God, isn't it?
Yes. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Romans 1:25 defined the term pagan for all time. He said they worship the creature rather than the creator.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what these guys do. That's exactly what these guys do. And they... See, they believe that the stars, behind the stars, is a supernatural being, an angel, they call them, and according to the highest levels of thinking, they are worshiping the being that is behind the star. But they do worship, in effect, they are worshiping the stars. It's interesting that, you know, going back to the corn, wine, and oil ceremony for a minute, the passage in the Bible that I quoted is Hosea chapter 2, verse 8, where God says, "For she," that's Israel, "did not know that I gave her corn, wine, and oil, which they prepared for Baal." So it is Baal worship, this corn, wine, and oil. It is interesting. We had a Masonic apologist on this show. In fact, I think we gave them more airtime than the so-called anti-Masons. And one of them was from British Columbia, considered one of the foremost Masonic apologists in the world. His name is Trevor McEwen. And he said that the pagans used the corn, wine, and oil ceremony to conjure up demons. And when we heard him say that, we said, "Thank you very much. That's exactly right."
Yeah, there you go. The corn, the wine, and the oil. Wow, that's now these zodiacs. You mentioned that there are 50, at least 50 zodiacs laid out in Washington D.C. So, you know, when Benjamin Franklin, one of our founding fathers, so-called, published his Little Richard's Almanac, and it had the astrology forecast in it, hey, that wasn't just some big joke. They must have really believed in it, huh?
They did. In fact, before they would schedule a ceremony, a corn, wine, and oil ceremony to dedicate a piece of land or dedicate a cornerstone or dedicate the finished building, they would cast a horoscope to determine the exact right, most propitious time to hold that ceremony. And they considered the alignments of the stars and which stars were in certain alignment. And it was always a very big deal. But one Masonic author, David Obison, which we quoted in this film, he said that in the eyes of the founding fathers, when they would hold a ceremony to dedicate to dedicate a cornerstone of a building or to dedicate the finished building, that what their intent was to invite benevolent beings from the supernatural realm to come down and participate in the ceremony.
Wow.
And then when the building was finished and they had another ceremony to dedicate the finished building, they were inviting the spirits of these demonic beings to come down and inhabit the building.
Boy, I tell you that. Well, listen, we're going to have to take a break. Boy, when people get this in their minds and discover the pagan roots of Washington, D.C. Hey, my guest today is David Bay of CuttingEdge.org. He's just produced a tremendous video. Stay with us, folks. We're going to tell you how to get that video and DVD. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy, and we'll be right back. Riddles in Stone. It's the latest DVD and VHS documentary that we have in our inventory, and it is a knockout. I want you to have this because I know you're going to enjoy this video. Why enjoy? Because I love to expose the devil's works. And David Bay does too, quite obviously. And that's why I like to see these things get out. You know, the Bible says no secrets are going to be left in the last days, that what these people have whispered about behind closed doors is going to come out. Maybe that's part of the process right now. God is giving his followers, his disciples right here on earth, the authority to open up these secret doors and allow us to peek inside. It's sort of like Ezekiel digging in the walls and God saying, "Look and see." And I think that's what we have going on here with videos like Riddles in Stone. This exposes Washington, D.C. It exposes some of the works of Satan, not overseas, but right here in our nation from the very beginning. It doesn't mean that all of the founding fathers were Satanists or Masons, but some of them were, just like today. Maybe not every politician. Well, I don't know very many that aren't, but maybe there are a few Christians left. Praise God for them. But there has always been a satanic conspiracy at work as well, and will be until Jesus comes and sets things right. Now, this video is 3 solid hours. 3 hours So when you start it, you're going to have to get yourself some, you know, popcorn or some snacks or whatever, some sustenance, and, you know, be ready to go. Because it's going to be one of those things, you know, you don't want to tear yourself away from. Riddles in Stone, 3 solid hours. We're asking $30 now because of the length of it. And it's 3 videos in 1, in a sense, if you consider most videos today are only an hour. And you'll find out about these mysterious monuments, the statues, the Greek-Roman architecture, the Masons and their involvement in these things, the astrological foundation of much of our nation's capital. What is the destiny of the United States in the minds of Satan and his disciples? All of these things you're going to find. What is the meaning of the obelisk and other symbols? What is the truth about star worship by some of our nation's founders? So I believe you're going to greatly enjoy this video. Now, we have some VHS copies. We have it in DVD. Again, $30. Ask for Riddles in Stone. Now, you can write to us here at Power of Prophecy, 1708, that's 1708, Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Send a check, $30. Also, add $4, please, for shipping and handling, a total of $34, and we'll get this right out to you, okay? Now, again, Riddles in Stone, $34. That'll get it to you post-paid by writing to us, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Hey, you can phone us during the work week, 8 to 5:30 every day, Central Standard Time. Just phone us toll-free in Canada and the United States, 1-800-234-9673. And some of the nicest, sweetest people in the world will answer your phone call. How do I know they're sweet? I listen to them sometime on the telephone when they're answering. That's the only kind of people we hire around here. And most of them have been here for a long time, and they love to hear from you. They really do, because they want to make sure you're pleased and you get what you want. That's what we're here for. We're not here for any other purpose than to serve God and to serve you. And we're servants, and we love to hear from you, okay? And by the way, if you have a prayer need when you order this video, or even if you don't order anything, you can write to us with your prayer needs and tell us what those are. And listen, folks, I'm going to brag a little bit. God answers my prayers. But, you know, I'm going to have to admit, he answers everyone's prayers who earnestly seek him. That's why I know he answers my prayers. I'm not so special. It's just that I know God. And the Bible says there is a special power when we come into an agreement. Okay? When we come into an agreement and petition our Lord and Savior. Now, here's what's going to happen when you ask us to pray for a certain need. We're going to come into agreement with you. Every letter that comes into this ministry, especially all the prayer requests, I see them immediately when they're open. I do. I'm right here in my office. I go right out to the mail table, and I get all the letters, and I read each one of them. And I promise you, I will pray individually for you and your needs. I cannot always answer your mail. I'm so sorry. You just won't believe the amount of mail that we get in here. But I know one thing. I will pray for you. I consider it not an obligation. It's not work. It's an honor. It's an honor. In fact, I believe when I pray to Jesus for you, I get the favor. I'm the one that gets blessed as well as you. And God answers prayers. I believe that. There is no doubt about it. I know I would not be alive. I'm not being dramatic, except for the prayers of the saints. That's why I want to ask you for a special favor. Will you pray for me? Will you pray for this ministry? Will you pray for its success? If so, I'd like to hear from you about that. Write to us and say, Tex, I'm praying for you and for the staff there at Power of Prophecy. I thank you for that sincerely. And you'll be amazed at the miracles. I just wish I should have a little book, a book of miracles, and write down every time somebody's prayer is answered. One of our friends out there in Radio Land, it's astonishing the prayers that God answers. We will pray for you. It's not a duty. It's a privilege for us to do so. Now, Riddles and Stone, $34 postpaid. Send us a check. Send us a money order. Send us cash. Whatever you send us, we're going to get it right back out to you. Be sure and specify now whether you want the old style VHS, if you're sort of old fashioned like Tex Morse, or you want the new DVD. Be sure to let us know which one you want, DVD or the old cassette type VHS. Okay? Now let's return to my regular program. David Bay of Cutting Edge Ministries is on the line. He's got a great website, and you'll want to get on that as well. David, tell folks a little bit about that website.
Well, Cutting Edge Ministries is a unique website because the Lord impressed me, back in 1988 when I was beginning this research that the prophesied religion of Antichrist is going to be witchcraft and black magic witchcraft in particular. And so I started studying black magic witchcraft, and the more I understood black magic witchcraft, the more I understood Freemasonry and the plan for this for this world. And I discovered that in the world of the occult, a very detailed plan has been written that tells how they're going to form a global government, economy, and religion, and then stage their New Age Christ. They say his name will be Maitreya the Christ, and the Bible will know him as Antichrist. And the thing, exciting thing about that was that if their plans fulfill Bible prophecy, and so I launched into that study, and it's a deep study. I had one former Satanist that now born again. Show me which books, and there were like 12 or 14 books that we read that he says was really, really succinctly told the plan, and he was right. I could have read 1,000 books and not understood, but I read the right 12 or 14 and understood it perfectly. Then, starting in about 1995, I realized that all of a sudden, with this knowledge of Bible prophecy and the occult plan, the parallel occult plan, suddenly the news of the day made a lot more sense. I understood why things were happening the way they were happening. So I set up Cutting Edge to be tied to the daily news, and we show how the events of the world and the leaders of the day are gradually moving the people into this new world order. And so it's been an exciting website.
Now that's cuttingedge.org.
Yes.
Now, once they get on there, they have some news and some features and such. Then you have like a subscription service, but they can learn about that by going to cuttingedge.org, right?
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Now, we have our most popular section on a day-to-day basis is our daily news update section. It's in the upper middle section, way up at the top, in the middle, it's a yellow. It's a yellow button.
Uh-huh.
We put up between 50 and 75 articles a day that we believe are articles that are showing how we're being maneuvered into this global system.
Okay, let's go back now 225 years or so to the foundations of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Now, that's the District of Columbia. What is the meaning of Columbia?
Is a goddess. Columbus, Columbus was named after Columbia, or maybe it's, but Columbia is the goddess of Washington, D.C. In Washington, D.C., you've got three elements, and they are laid out in the street designs. I'll explain in a minute. You've got the goddess, which is, Columbia, Minerva, Isis, whatever name, Sibel, the corn goddess, whatever you want to name them, they're all the same. Then you've got the male, and it's usually Baal. And then you've got the divine child. And you see, Masonic occult philosophy says that when the god, normally Baal, mystically unites with the goddess Columbia, they will produce an offspring which will be a divine child. This story is remarkably laid out in the right triangle.
Isn't that amazing, though, that our nation's capital is called the District of Columbia, named after a goddess?
Right.
That should clue people in a little bit. Now
a pagan goddess. A pagan goddess. Pagan goddess, and she is tied by the symbology. She is tied inexplicably to Baal, the male.
Okay, now when people visit the Capitol building, they look up at the top, and there is what?
Lady Liberty at the very top.
There's another goddess up there, right?
Right.
Overlooking the whole city, from the Capitol building. I remember one of our founding fathers said that the Capitol building was more than a political building. It was a temple of religion.
No, it's a temple to the goddess.
Yeah, a temple to the goddess.
It was designed that way. It was dedicated that way. Now, remember, when we say Lady Liberty, let's define liberty. Because remember how the communists used to love to redefine words? So that what they meant by a word was not what we thought of it to be.
Well, the communist, I remember Nikita Khrushchev, who was the chairman of the Communist Party in the Soviet Union. He said, our goal is to perfect man. Our goal is the new Soviet man. Now, this perfected man, from what you have told me, David, this is a very important concept in the Masonic order in Washington, D.C.
Yes. The emphasis in Masonry is a perfected man. They like to say, we make good men better.
Oh, yes.
Well, through the rituals, through the Masonic rituals and teachings, and the oral and written tests that they go through, they are gradually making men perfect, weeding out those things that make them less than perfect. And finally, when you get to the 33rd degree, you are considered a perfected man, and you can realize your own godhood.
Now, how do you become perfected? We know that in Jesus Christ, Paul says we go from glory to glory, but it's not anything we do of in and of ourselves. God is sort of crafting us, you might say, working on us, chipping away at the sin and the dross and making us into better people, of course, as a new man or a new woman. But they have a different concept, don't they?
Right. It's entirely works-oriented. The Shriner Burn Centers are a great example. I've had so many Masons email me and say, you're criticizing the Masons, but they do a lot of good in this world, and they hold up the Shrine Burn Center and other charities that they do. That's a great amount of their perfected man. But the thing is, let's go back to this, because this is the destiny of America, and I want people to understand this. And again, I don't think this has ever been brought up by any other author. In the right angle triangle, the federal triangle is a good example. Okay, it's the best example. The 15th Street is north, is the vertical part of this triangle. That is Baal. The Constitution Avenue is the horizontal part of the right triangle. That's Columbia or Sibel. Pennsylvania Avenue is the hypothesis, and that is the divine child. And so what the very street layout depicts is that Baal, the vertical 15th Street, is mystically uniting with the goddess, which is Constitution, and together they will produce the Masonic Christ, the divine child, and that is a hypotenuse, which is Pennsylvania Avenue. Now, overlooking Pennsylvania Avenue on the National Archives building in the tympanum there, facing Pennsylvania Avenue, is a perfected man with six stars behind his head, sitting on a throne, ruling the world.
Hmm.
That is the Masonic Christ. That, and he's overlooking what? Pennsylvania Avenue, which is the hypotenuse or the divine child. And
right.
And it's and you know, FDR loved to say America has a rendezvous with destiny. Authors, New Age authors have talked, you know, time and again about America's appointment with destiny.
Oh,
destiny
yeah.
is on their mind all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we think of destiny as an end goal. But when we checked the National Archives building website, we discovered that that perfected man sitting on the throne ruling the world, ruling the New World Order, his name is Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
So Destiny is a man.
Wow.
He's a Masonic Christ. And that is what when you take all of the architecture, and we discuss it all, we discuss many, many parts of it, it boils down to the fact that the end result of the story that the architecture tells is that America and America's capital was established to lead the world into the New World Order and then produce the Masonic Christ.
Boy, that is just astonishing. Now, let's look a little bit more in depth from a viewpoint of a visitor to Washington, D.C. Now, I visited Washington, D.C. some years ago, and as I drove around the city, my wife Wanda and I, and I'm tongue-in-cheek now, David, and get this, and you can correct me very quickly if you wish, but I was impressed by all the statues of Jesus and the apostles and the prophets.
You saw it.
Yeah.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Yeah, liar, liar, pants on fire. You know, now let me just quickly say that in one sense, as a Christian, we don't need statues. We don't need idols and such. And I understand that. So, you know, it didn't disappoint me. But, you know, not to see a statue of Jesus or of the minor and major prophets and the, you know.
Anything biblical.
Yeah. But there was nothing biblical at all. In fact, I really felt like, wow, I must have driven, you know, like one of these movies, you know, futuristic, you know, Back to the Future, where the car takes off into the sky, you know, because I must be in ancient Greece or Rome. This is not America. This is some foreign pagan country, right?
Right. All of the gods and goddesses up there, and at least a third of them are naked or bare-breasted.
Yeah, they're all bare-breasted. I'm thinking, I realize that now in our generation, we've gotten sort of crude and vulgar with our movies and all that bare-breasted women on the beaches and such. But hey, back in the 1700s and the 1800s, you would not expect it, right?
Right. In fact, on the Constitution side of the National Archives building is an old Ancient of Days figure sitting on a throne, and he's got a book open on his lap, you know, the Ancient Book of Days, or you know the Book of Man's, you know, actions.
Uh-huh.
And he's got a set of keys that's dangling from the book, and it looks for all the world like he is getting ready to judge the old world order. And in the lower right and the lower left of this tympanum, there is a bare-breasted, you know, she might even be naked, woman being accosted by two naked men.
Goodness,
I mean, it's awful.
What?
It took my breath away. I grabbed the camera we were using, and I looked inside the lens and zoomed it in just to make sure that my eyes, that I was seeing what I thought I was seeing.
Now, the Supreme Court bill, let's go to it for just a quick minute. Now, you know, you have all these supposed Christian organizations, including, you know, for example, Jay Sekulow, who heads up this Christian legal group. And they all go up to the Supreme Court and try to argue issues, you know, to help Christians, right? And I'm not knocking that at all. But isn't it amazing? And then they have their little press conferences, you know, the James Dobson people, all of them, right outside you know, on the steps of the Supreme Court building. And the, you know, the Supreme Court's taken the Ten Commandments out of, and manger scenes away from, you know, county courthouses and all that. And right there on, tell us about the Supreme Court building. What is at the very apex of this Greco-Roman temple that is the Supreme Court building, but another naked woman?
Right. Lady Liberty. Now, I got to talk, you know, I want to finish our discussion real quick on meanings. Liberty to the occultist does not mean what you and I think it means. Liberty means being freed from all rules and constraints.
Mm.
What it meant in the French Revolution, was an Illuminati revolution, the first one. And that's what it means in Lady Liberty. They are the first thing they're going to do, at the first opportunity, they're going to throw out all the Judeo-Christian rules, and they're going to live a life without rules. But you see, it's okay. There won't be anarchy, because the only people left alive on the earth will be perfected men.
So really, liberty is license. It's licentiousness.
Yes, of course, absolutely.
Lasciviousness, basically.
And democracy, as George Bush is portraying it, is not what we think it is, you know, the town hall democracy where everybody has a vote. Democracy is an occult term which is only for perfected men. And they do not believe that you can have, see, our founding fathers did not establish democracy. They established a republic because they believed with imperfected men, with undisciplined, imperfected men, democracy would never work. So they established a republic. But the end result is going to be a democracy of perfected men instituted after the Masonic Christ has cleansed the earth of 66% of its population.
So this is like a Plato's republic.
Exactly.
Where you have philosopher kings. They're so much more intellectual and wise than the rest of them. They're God men on earth,
absolutely.
They claim.
And we bring that out in this video. It's Plato's republic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to be until the Masonic Christ has cleansed the earth of two-thirds of the population.
Wow.
Leaving only perfected men on the earth. But of course, if you go through the book of Revelation text and you're careful about calculating the numbers, you will discover that the sum total of the people who will die from God's judgments in the book of Revelation is 66%.
Wow.
So this is another parallel of the occult plan to the Bible.
Okay, now let's go over, let's continue looking at some of the structures that you find in Washington, D.C., and those that you mentioned, like the Statue of Destiny, is just astonishing. The Washington Monument, everybody notices it. Look how tall it is, 555 feet tall. And everybody says, well, look at that. Isn't that a wonderful structure? What is the real meaning of that Washington Monument?
And it's a filthy obelisk. It's an Egyptian obelisk. And you know, Obel-esque is how it's, you know, is how it's divided out as you spell it. The bell inside is Baal. It's the erect sexual shaft of Baal. That's what it is. And that's why in Leviticus 26:1, God says, and I'm reading from the Amplified now, it says, "You shall not make for yourselves no idols, nor shall you erect a graven image, pillar, or obelisk."
Boy, there it is. And we obelisk. So in defiance of the book of Leviticus, America's founders, of course, the Washington Monument came some decades after Washington, but there, basically, our nation's leaders gave us exactly what God said don't do, an obelisk.
And in 2 Kings 10:26, where you've got righteous King Jehu, he is destroying Baal worship under God's orders. And in verse 26, it says, "They brought out the pillars or the obelisks of the house of Baal and burned them."
Mm-hmm.
So this is what in witchcraft is called a cursed object.
Mm.
It is an object built for the purpose of worshiping a graven idol, of worshiping Baal.
You know, I want people to understand we're saying these things, And we're exposing Satan. I remember back in the year 2000 when they were getting ready, they were cleaning up the Washington Monument, preparing for, you know, the huge millennium celebration. And they put a protective sheath over it. And it looked exactly like a huge condom over the Washington Monument. I have pictures of that.
Like I said, it was designed by occultists, and their meaning behind it was that it was Baal's shaft.
You know, the name Pierre Lafont, the French architect of this, the mason who, one of the designers in the street layout and such of Washington, D.C., have you ever studied that name? Because Lafont means, of course, the child.
Yes.
And Pierre has several meanings. One of them is phallus symbol.
Oh, really?
Yeah, pointer, one who points to, or meaning the phallus, Pierre or Peter. And one of the meanings of that is phallus. So it would, in a way, would be the phallus of the child.
But you see, in the larger L'Enfant triangle, the anchor of the vertical line is the obelisk. From the obelisk straight up to the house of the temple, the Masonic house of the temple, and the line runs straight. That is the vertical or the Baal portion of that right triangle. And I find it very, very interesting that the obelisk anchors that vertical line.
Now that 555 triple nickel, we used to call it in the Air Force, the 555 height of the Washington Monument, feet, when you multiply that times 12, you get 6,660 inches.
Is that right?
You don't count the zero in numerology. And so there, wouldn't that be a little bit of a clue, 666?
Yes. And
in inches?
I'll give you another instance, and I'll give you another meaning to that, too. In the occultists believe that powers have inherent, I mean, that numbers have inherent power.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 6 is the number of man, 11 is the number of the Masonic Christ, 13 is the number of extreme rebellion, but 5 is the number of death.
Wow.
And if you, the highest that you can multiply it, it's a triplet, you know. So 5 times 3 is, excuse me, 555 is the greatest symbolic triplication that you can give any number. And so 555 literally means triple death.
You know, I remember we had a squadron named the 555th in the Air Force. I was talking with the commander of that, and he was telling me about the numerological implications of the triple nickel squadron, they called it. And it's everything what you just said. And that's sort of interesting.
It's also interesting that President Bush ordered the invasion of Iraq on March 20th, 2003, which was 555 days precisely after 9/11.
Boy, and they brought death there. Well, I'll tell you, we've run out of time. Man, we could go on for a long time, but you have 3 hours.
Need to come back.
We do need to come back. But meanwhile, people need to get this video, 3 hours long, Riddles in Stone. Order it from powerofprophecy.com. Yes, we have it on our online market store. Or write to us, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Hey, David Bay, it's been my great pleasure having you on the program today.
It's been my pleasure being here, Tex. Thanks.
Thank you, and I do pray you'll come on again very soon with us.
I'd love to.
Folks, this is Tex Mars, and my prayer is that you will tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.